So, but we have a lot of opportunity just to spend with Paul toward the end of last week, and then with his daughters this last several days. And so we had some good closure time with Paul last week. He's was very much professing comfort at where he was going. I think he was going through some difficulty just releasing this world and the things of the world, and not quite feeling like everything had been settled like he would like, you know, from a family perspective. But things.
So was it this morning we believe he went home to be with the Lord?
Yes, it was
this morning.
It was definitely this morning.
And yeah. So yeah, I believe it was this morning.
We were there Monday night when they took him into hospice. At that point, there wasn't any response at all.
Right. So you guys got the call Monday night that he was in pain, more severe
Monday
than what
afternoon.
Monday afternoon.
Afternoon on Monday.
More than what home hospice could do. And so they took him into the facility and called you guys to come in with him, right?
Yeah, so we got there right as Emily and Laura and Emily's husband and son were coming in. So we got some time to spend with them in a private room before we went back to see Paul. And so he really had a wonderful opportunity to minister to Laura and Emily in that time. I had a good opportunity to talk to Gary. His husband. And so it's just, you know, it's a difficult time. They had been through a very, very rough day. Some of the things that they'd seen, they just weren't prepared for. It was the Lord's graciousness to have prepared their hearts to, you know, hear about the promises of God and his comfort. He has had a lot of contact with both of them, but primarily Emily for the last couple of days. So you want to share with.
So I'll just fast forward to this morning. So there's been a lot of conversation over the last few days. there's a heart that's seeking, but there's a heart that's confused. It reminded me a lot of my own. I was telling the pastors that, you know, my own journey before I came, when the Lord was tilling and working in my soil. As I look back, there were lots of different people that he blessed me with. At the time, I wouldn't have known it, wouldn't have seen it, but different ones that he put. And that's really how Greg and I have felt, that the Lord has opened a door. And so we were able to just really speak boldly about knowing what we know. And so at one point, I remember telling Emily, you're the most to be pitied if this isn't true. I said, there was a time in my life where I just went through celebrating Easter, didn't really know it, would have said I was understanding and a Christian. I said, but this is true. If you place, you know, so kind of went through it and just said, and you can have that confidence. And I could see her eagerness at a different time. She says, I think I believe, I just don't know about all this organized religion. And so Greg got to talk to her about how Jesus is not about that. So there is a seeking anyway. And then this last night was a rough night for them, and she reached out this morning and just said, can you help? I've been to the chapel. I've read in the Bible there. They weren't feeling peace. They're not yet, you know, they don't have the Spirit yet.
Right.
So at this point, I was like, I don't know what, and I just asked for help, and I thought of hymns. And
yeah.
So precious memories from Alan Jackson
and
the lyrics of those songs. I thought, just fill the room. So I said, Emily, just fill the room with that music. Here's the link. And I said, we continue to pray.
So you became all things to all men.
Yeah. And like the night before, Laura's like, I've listened to Christian music before. And I thought, I don't know what to make with that. But at the same time, I know that Paul really enjoyed the hymns. And I was thinking of him.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
He had that old country twang.
Yeah. So it's off we sent. So, but anyway, I sent the link. We prayed in about an hour later. She texted. She said, Dad is in heaven. Looking forward to being able to talk to them again tomorrow evening.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all are supposed to meet with them tomorrow evening. They've asked for Pastor Greg to kind of do the service.
Yeah. They got to figure out and sort through all of their, what they're doing and where they're, but we do know Paul right. wanted to be buried. He was very emphatic about that.
That alone's huge because Paul, I mean, we remember early on with Paul, it was all about financial.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So for him to think in the realm of biblical is huge.
Yeah, September he reached out to Greg and was talking about, like, I can't get to the funeral home there next to the church. Would you go and would you get
yeah.
the information for me? So he was preparing for his family.
Yeah,
you know?
I went over and talked to him and just talked about the,
mm-hmm.
The having everything ready,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether there's a miraculous healing or not.
Right.
Just having things ready so that your family in a time of distress
mm-hmm.
is not having to make decisions and stuff. So
a part of setting his affairs in order.
Exactly.
And
he
right.
was all over it. So
mm-hmm.
I just took him the pamphlet and walked through the stuff that they gave me next door.
And if
so.
People don't know, Pastor Gary had done at some point, someone had a question about cremation versus burial.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful sheet to show
mm-hmm.
folks who don't really just know. And if you want to bring the word of God, so that's what Greg had brought him in.
Mm-hmm.
Paul just absorbed, like, there wasn't any hesitation. He's like, I want to.
Yeah, it's an act of us saying we believe in resurrection. He's going to raise that body up. That's something that God wove.
Well, and I appreciated his desire to take that burden off of his
them. Mother. He was thinking of others
right.
in that act.
So, and his mother came down last week.
Yeah, she was here.
Blending day, yeah. But and she's 93
mm-hmm.
from lives up in Illinois. And she hadn't been down for a long time. When he had first when all this had first happened, they were trying to get her to come down. She wasn't coming down, but she did come down, and so that was encouraging.
That was
also
Lord.
That she
yeah
the kindness of God.
Mm-hmm.
At 93, we know
his moving and directing.
That's not easy to do.
Oh yeah.
So the Lord has been so gracious, so kind.
Mm-hmm.
It's a privilege to watch Him work in the lives of those He calls that He loves. Like we were saying before
mm-hmm.
service, what a blessing. We just get to testify to His grace,
mm-hmm.
His mercy, and He does His growing and growth. And I was telling Pastor James, I said, you know, grow me, and I don't have to worry about growing others. I can't grow
mm-hmm.
others.
Right.
You know? So it's a free. You can just joyfully, even in the midst of darkness, have a joy that's not fake, but it's palpable
mm-hmm.
in that confidence of the Lord, the Spirit. So we've just...
And again, just
be
the
grateful.
Opportunity that we had to see the power of surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And
a completed work.
And that, you know, you can surrender one day and,
mm-hmm.
you know, you go to sleep and the forces of the world go to work and you wake up and you're not quite...
I get stirred up.
Exactly.
Agitated, the waves of the mind.
Just how when you're in that moment of surrender, there's just a different level of calm and
mm-hmm.
peace. But it's a good reminder that the world wants to stir that up, and
mm-hmm.
they're not going to leave you in peace. The world wants us to continue to think, well, maybe if I did this, something would change. And so,
and even my own proclivities, but learning to cast all my cares upon Him, for He cares for us. It makes me think of course, Christ talking to John and quoting from Isaiah. The blind man sees, the deaf man hears, the lame man walks. So we got to see that take place in such a way where he couldn't do some of those things. How did Paul end up coming? Does anybody remember?
Coming to church?
Church here.
He had been a part of the church over here.
Around the corner?
Another
okay.
Another church.
Yeah.
And there were some things going on there that...
Okay, I vaguely remember.
...was not pleased with, and so...
it wasn't... It was before COVID, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because we had some...
He was a firecracker.
Yeah.
Paul...
We had some spirited discussions.
Yeah. He was a Nathaniel.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, he... It was... I was sitting there trying to remember when it was... It's been several years.
Yeah, and the one thing I'm thankful for is as he came, a lot of you different ones had opportunities to talk with him and encourage him and to love on him and for us to see I would say a finished work, to see the Lord take him home. And I remember at the men's conference him praying to receive the Lord at one time. Mm-hmm. And then I don't think that's the only time he prayed.
No.
It was like Paul going, we'd see different times of wrestling. I'm ready. And he'd surrender. And then there'll be different times of wrestling, and I need it. And he would surrender. And so we would see it take place in his life, ultimately to the final surrendering.
Faithfulness of our God.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But I think at this time, too, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. And I think there at the end, especially when we were visiting, you could see the tears coming down the eyes. That was encouraging to see. Couldn't hardly talk, but you could see the emotion still coming through. But be at this time, too, as a body, we're praying for the rest of the family, and that the Lord would just pray for us, that the Lord would, there's a wide door for effective service, as Corinthians would say. There's different adversaries, there's different things going around, but we're praying for a door for the gospel to see this whole family be saved, like the Philippian jailer.
I think we're going to have good opportunity with his oldest grandson.
Good.
He was there Monday night and mm-hmm. wasn't saying much, but was listening. And, mm-hmm. So.
What 20-year-old hugs two total strangers? Yeah. I know the Lord's softening.
Reminds me of another man that was a quiet man at first and started hugging total strangers. I remember him. He was right there. But I'm just so thankful to hear of these different things, and so. Anything else you want to add? And be praying for you guys with these days ahead. The Lord's opened a door for ministering. We're just really thankful. Thankful. Yeah, thankful. So with that being said, too, James, I'm just going to call you up. Parking lot.
Yes, sir.
It's coming faster than, do I need to call you up too, Bob? Bob does not want to come up here. We have to, Paul has to be like, Bob had to be like the paralytic. We have to bring him on
carry him up here, yeah.
Like on a pallet. So talk to us about the parking lot. You want to fill us in?
Yes, so we've shared recently at the offertory about some of what's getting ready to come, and we're going to be beginning a lot of that this upcoming Sunday. So
tractors are out there.
There's a couple of the big machines dropped off earlier today out there. So these next few days, I think they're going to start getting some things out here and kind of their preparation, right, Mr. Bob?
Yeah, there'll be a lot of piping coming in first part of next week.
Yeah.
So we'll be moving.
We're about to be full steam ahead.
Yes. So we did want to just mention that is, I think we mentioned the 12th, the second Sunday of January was when you'd expect some things to start changing in terms of our parking. So I know a number of you have signed up to park next door. So what I'm going to let you know, too, is if we could start doing that this upcoming Sunday. Now, we'll be over there and over here. We're going to kind of split up and be on both sides. So you won't need to figure out where to park. We'll be over there. We'll show you where to pull into. If you have somebody to drop off, obviously, do that over here and then drive over to there, Miss Barb.
Is that only on Sunday, or if we signed up, is it on Wednesday too?
I don't.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I think just based on the number of cars we have Wednesday night, parking lot here is adequate. Mm-hmm. There's going to be no need to park over there. And there's really not any good lighting over there as well. But Sunday, those that volunteer,
all the young folks gotta park over there. Drop your families off.
Yep.
And then we're going over there, young men.
Still young.
And we sent out an email today for to all of the men in the body. Anybody that's available to help. Obviously, there's going to be some helping to kind of direct where everybody can park. Maybe help park if somebody needs that. And when we really get, probably, I think, Mr. Bob, maybe somewhere in March when we shift to working on the front side, that second phase, we're going to need help with especially some of our older members, helping them to navigate getting into the sanctuary, because we'll be really pulling up in a very different place than we're used to, without the sidewalk that we're accustomed to, the setup we're accustomed to. So just as many men within the body that are willing to be a part of that ministry, that we can rotate and come alongside our brothers and sisters in this time.
So I think what you're saying is brothers, we need some help.
We do.
Younger men, we need some help. And older men that can move around and get back and forth, we could use your help. And now I think one of the things that you're wanting is to have maybe one guy posted up out here this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So before the 9 a.m. service and in between services,
yes,
to make sure that we get as much filling in the front as we can.
Yes.
And so, yeah, you want to make sure one guy here.
One guy here.
Two guys over there.
Two over there. Because we have two different parking areas that we're going to be utilizing next door.
And there's a good amount of parking over there.
There is.
There's a good amount. The way Brent and Bob got us set up, there's a good amount of parking over there. There's that whole stretch heading towards the babies.
Yeah.
You know, where the boys are.
Yeah.
Going around that curve, all that grass there, they just want us to back in or pull in front ways. But there's a whole road. There's plenty of parking.
But Mr. Bob's made some signs for over there, and there'll be a couple of us over there. I'll be over there Sunday. So if you just come in, look for us, come down that main drive, we'll direct you where to park and help you get settled in there. So you won't need to figure it out. I think once we do it for a few weeks, we'll have a good idea how everything kind of fits together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this Sunday we had said it'd be me, you, and then maybe Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
And then after all you brothers sign up, our goal is kind of like the cleaning schedule, is to get a rotation of three men, let's say for the next few months. Once people get used to parking over there, we may not have to stay over there.
Yeah.
But the goal is for the next few months to have a rotation so that it's spread out a little bit, a lot like the cleaning schedule. It's not too much on one person or two guys.
And those of you men that are part of greeting or reading the word or the counting, I'll send out a message on Saturdays in the same manner to help let everybody know who's going to be doing it.
That's right.
On that given week.
Yeah.
That way we're kind of aware. And I know a number of you brothers are serving in different areas. You're teaching, you're in the sound booth, you're greeting, you're doing things like that. We're doing it that way so we can help not take away from those other ministries as well.
Very much.
So we'll keep that in mind as we rotate everybody through.
Yeah, we want to make sure we're trying to accommodate everyone the best we can. You know, not double book you, you know.
Mr. Bob.
Just one thing. On the ladies' Bible study on Thursday mornings, we want everybody to park on the north side of the parking lot.
I'm going
to
come out for that, too.
That area,
I think so. We'll let them know.
It's going to be with trucks and equipment and things. So everybody is park as far this way as you can.
You want to add to that?
And Pastor Josh and I are planning on being out here starting – I think next Thursday's Bible study, once the work's actually being done, to help us make sure that if there's machinery going on and different things, that we help all of the ladies here be able to safely get in and out of parking.
For the next few Thursdays, Pastor James and I will be here, because by next Thursday, they're going to have a trench ripped across the front of that parking lot, kind of opened and then covered, and covered by the afternoon. But there's going to be a big old trench going across the front parking lot by next Wednesday night, most likely.
Yeah.
And you'll see the little bit of where a ditch has been dug. That's a big old tractor back there.
Yeah.
Did you want to add anything else? You had your hand raised, Kim.
Yeah, if I were to park over there.
Uh-huh.
We're not coming through that gate. We're going to the sidewalk.
No, we're going to come through the gate.
Oh,
through the gate.
You will still be able to, like,
months from now?
We're going to have a walkway that we'll probably caution tape off once we get started to help us walk up into the parking lot and come in.
Yeah, we'll have a walkway mapped out with pipe and caution tape. You'll know where to go. But there'll be two men over there.
Yeah.
So where one of the men are going to be positioned is right by the two buildings that are there. It's right where you would kind of – and actually – there's going to be a driveway coming right through right over here. Phase two starts.
Yeah.
So there'll be a driveway that leads right into this whole back parking lot. But
it'll be a little bit different spot
but
from that.
They'll be driving along that path that we go back to the back here.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So won't it be even to cross over?
It's say that again.
A mess.
There's an area that's not going to be, when we met with them yesterday, it's not going to go all the way up to the fence. So there will be a safe, clean area to walk up to the parking lot.
And we've thought through this as far as like if they haven't paved yet and it's more like the lime rock or the crush crete that's going to go down under the pavement, what we may end up doing is getting some kind of plywood and making a walkway to where we're not tracking all the soil, whatever it may be, the mess into the church. So we may end up, we may lay it out on a Saturday and then pick it up on a Monday so that we're not in our church clothes. Yes, ma'am. Some booties. But so that'll be the Thursday's Bible studies. You'll have two men over there. Mm-hmm. We'll have another guy posted up out front here. And the goal is to get, you know, every nook and cranny up here used like we have. We've had to do that before. And so, and then, of course, we'll have that over there. Anything else that you can think? So by next week, this place is going to be looking different. Praise the Lord, though. That's exciting, isn't it?
Amen.
I'm excited. Do you want to add anything else, brother?
No, just like we said, Sunday we'll start on. I think you're saying you'll probably be over here. I'll probably be next door. So we'll be here to help.
I was thinking we can put you and Dan over there.
Yep.
And then I'll stay up here. And I think the body, as we do it over the next few weeks, the body will start to kind of catch on. Mm-hmm. And it'll just become second nature, not unlike how we've done it for many years.
Yeah.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you, brother. I know we had Julie's paper up there on the door. Her stents went well last week. She got 4 stents put in, and they're supposed to put another one in 6 months. So we're thankful for that. James 1, every good and perfect gift comes from our Father above, where there's no shifting or variations of shadow. So, you know, we're thankful for good things, you know, thankful for those things. Miss Fran had a shoulder surgery. That went well, what you're saying, right? So thankful for these things. These are good things. We're thankful for them. And I heard the guys over here talking about Los Angeles and stuff and about the fires ripping through there. Is there any other news that came in from North Carolina at all? I know it's the dead middle of winter up there now. Have we heard anything on that at all? I know we had gotten some good report back from Jason and Jessica.
No, just interestingly enough, I mean, just even 2 weeks ago, they were still finding bodies.
Still finding bodies. So remembering the families at this time, you know, our desire is that we know God is good. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So, you know, our prayer is this would be a time where souls would be coming to know the Lord. It was through difficulty that brought me to the Lord. It was through difficulty that brought a lot of us to the Lord, through loss, through pain, through suffering, through death. And ultimately, Christ Jesus on the cross, the most horrific thing in death, brought many sons to glory. And so that's our prayer at this particular time. Did you want to add anything on to that?
Those fires,
it's
devastating.
Right.
They say it's the worst fire in Los Angeles ever.
Well, I mean, I remember reading the article, and it's ripping through Los Angeles, you know.
Well, it's hitting large Malibu, Everdeen.
There was no containment. Yeah, there was no containment.
Even in Pasadena, I think of Mount Wilson.
And I think that's where Dorothy grew up, wasn't it? Right over in that area? Yeah, the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Your family.
My son Jason worked in an office building at the intersection of Pacific Coast Highway and Sunset Boulevard, which is where the fire was really huge. So his office building, of course, is gone. And I was talking to him, and I said, "This reminds me of God rescuing Lot."
Yeah.
And I always told people, to me, California is like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
But he agrees with me that it was God who rescued him out of there.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So
you don't think the Lord's calling you to minister out there?
On the horizon.
Okay, gentlemen, all right.
Did I cut you off? Were you in the middle of saying something? God doesn't desire any man to perish. And it is like man to displace his bad, displace his, God doesn't desire any to perish. And his desire is for all men to come to repentance. And as a church, that's where we're going to stay. And so we are thankful. I'm just really thankful about the news about Paul and the opportunity to minister to the rest of the family. You know, I think of the Philippian jailer. You know, the rest of that family come to know the Lord. Cornelius, you know, the whole family comes to know the Lord. And he sent Peter. He sent Paul at different times. And the Lord's opening opportunities for different ones of us at different times. And we're just thankful for those opportunities to share. We're seeing people come to know the Lord, and we're praising God for that. We're seeing brothers that struggled, sisters that struggled, come to know the Lord. It was shortly before Dorothy had passed. You know, that she had finally goes, okay, why am I not gone? And I think, you know, we kept telling her, well, why don't you ask the Lord? And she one day goes, because I haven't accepted him as God in the flesh. Who's going to tell her that? You know, and we knew that, but it was the Holy Spirit that revealed that to her. It was God the Father that revealed that to her, no different than Christ was talking to Peter. Who do you say that I am? My Father in heaven revealed that to you, Peter. And we saw her come to know the Lord, you know, whole there at the end. And so just really thankful for the work that God's doing. We're excited about the work he's doing here at the church. Praise God. What a blessing. You know, he's given us Bob and brought these other men in to work. And we're praying for opportunities with these men, you know. And then on top of that, we understand that that God's doing a stirring in the world that we live in. And our prayers is that we'll see different ones come to know him, and we'll see his name be elevated and his name be glorified to the highest degree, you know, in sinful man, you know. So really thankful for these opportunities. James, you wanna pray, brother?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just give you praise for who you are. You are our anchor. You are our hope. You're the one who's faithful, even when we're faithless. Lord, we can't help but just give thanks for who you are and all that you're doing through these different opportunities. And Lord, we think of the work that you've done even in this past week in Paul's life in those final days, and just continuing to strengthen while his body was weak, you were strengthening his relationship with you. And Lord, through that time, and we know the perfection of your timing, that you would open this door with his family, that you would know the right time to begin to soften and work on their hearts in days such as this. Lord, I know that would be a wonderful desire of Paul's heart, to see that work in his daughters and his grandson. Lord, so we do pray for these days ahead. We pray with great confidence of knowing that you know exactly how to begin to work, and that your timing is perfect. And so we wait on you. And we look forward to the work that you're going to do in these days ahead. Lord, and we know that you bring a perfect comfort and a perfect strength. Lord, we do continue to pray with Pastor Jason and the different ones in the Carolinas, and Lord, through this time in California as well. And Lord, you're stirring things up in such a way that, Lord, it's our hope that through this that you would be glorified, and there may be different ones there that are hitting their knees and receiving you as their Savior. Lord, we know that it's your desire to rescue. So, Lord, we look for that in this time. Lord, and we do pray with these days ahead here at the church that, Lord, we would see the different things that are going on, whether they be construction or different projects moving on, that, Lord, we would see it as an opportunity to trust you as an opportunity to serve and minister together as a family. Lord, we wouldn't shy away from opportunities to sacrifice, to give of ourselves, to just give wholeheartedly to you. Lord, we wouldn't run from those. We would embrace those opportunities. And Lord, we pray for these men that are going to come out in these months ahead. Lord, you've ordained exactly which ones are going to walk on to these grounds. And so, Lord, if it's your will, we know that you can open doors and soften hearts, and that we may see some of these men come to you. Lord, what a tremendous blessing, so much greater than anything physical that could be done here, would be to see ones added to your kingdom. So, Lord, in these days ahead and all these different areas, Lord, may we just walk in a manner worthy of your calling, and Lord, may we just trust you more and more. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And I did want to mention one other thing, too. Peter's daughter, I know a couple of weeks ago we had had a faithful forum where we were just praying for one another. And our prayer that Sunday was for your daughter. You had not talked with her. You know, you were just wanting to hear something, you know, and we just said, okay, Lord, you see our hearts, and, you know, you can open a door when you're ready. You know, we're just going to trust you with that and trust you with her. When did you talk to her?
Well, after that Sunday, I guess it was that Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah. I got a FaceTime from her as I was driving home, and had a great conversation with her and then my grandson. And I was grateful enough to be close to home that Lori and I both were able to now engage with her and just catch up, and was happy to see her engaging. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have to kind of initiate it, if you would. So it was very heartwarming to see that. And she looked pretty good. She's struggling with being a mother and the pressures and mm-hmm. being where she lives and so forth. And she went into some seclusion there for a while.
Right.
But she looks like she came out, and we actually talked to her the day after New Year's, driving down to see my folks. Mm-hmm. Again, we had another hour worth of engagement with my grandson and her, and just catching up. And it seems like we're back to that pattern. She's out of her area of, mm-hmm. let's say, shying away or being quiet. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where it leads and what the Lord wants. And I just keep praying for them, but I also keep focusing on my relationship with the Lord to mm-hmm. keep that growing and trusting in Him.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I want, but I gotta give it to Him and let Him do it in His time.
Amen. But I just thought that was neat how we prayed Sunday. And the psalmist will say, I love the Lord because He hears me.
Yes.
And He's intricately acquainted with all of my ways. He will accomplish what concerns me, which I see Diane shaking her head. And that's her favorite verse. And then the second, what Miss Hina was saying, you know, Lord, just I need to focus on me growing, make sure I'm obeying the Lord. I'm doing what's pleasing to Him. He's going to take care of those things, and then He's going to open doors in His time. But, Lord, you know, you just prepare me. As the song would say, prepare me to be a sanctuary. So, praise the Lord. A lot of good work. Did somebody else raise their hand over here? No? Okay. Well, let's open up to, of course, Proverbs 7. I don't want to keep you guys all night. We should be done probably about midnight. And the joke is, you know the one who trained me, so... So, really, I had to begin to ask myself, my goal was I wanted to go ahead and finish Proverbs 7 up tonight, so to try to kind of walk through it briefly. The power of cherishing, we look at verse 2, to keep my commandments and live and my teaching as the apple of your eye. It's unique as you look up the word apple of the eye. It'll have a meaning of a little man of the eye. It's talking about little man of the eye because the pupil is reflective. It also will talk about the middle of the night, that which is middle and darkness. But what's unique today, we actually practiced it, Michelle and I, in the office area. I said, come here, let me look in your eye. And she's like, it's the passage. And you can see your head and someone else's pupil. Now, for some of us, you better get a little closer. You know, it's a little harder to see. You can't make out necessarily facial features, but you can see your head in the reflection of that pupil. And if I'm just trying to think through the little man of the eye, the middle, it'll talk about surrounded by night and darkness because the pupil is black, you know. And so if you think about it, it's a man that's surrounded by darkness. If you look with me in Proverbs, let's see here, 6, I had it written down here. Chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life. So we're sinful, man. We're stuck in darkness. We're surrounded by darkness. Not only is it outwardly, but it's inwardly too. Without regeneration, I can't be in the light. But in this particular case, his word is what gives light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It makes me know who he is. It makes things clear. It makes life more clear. And so the little man of the eye, or the middle of darkness, it would also talk about that which is precious, because it would tie into Deuteronomy 32, Zechariah 2, Psalm 17, the pupil of the eye, the apple of the eye, which would talk about something that which is precious. It also, the eye being very vulnerable, but it being, they say the ancient, the thought is the eye was the most important of the senses, would kind of tie in there, but it's very protected when you think about it. So the eye itself has the eyelid, upper and lower. From what I read, it also has a covering over the eye too, under the eyelids, if I'm not wrong. The other part of it being highly protected, because it's such a precious organ of the body, a senses organ of the body, not only is there the eyelid, a lot of times, if you've ever worked in construction or even maybe everyday life, if something splinters or comes at you very quickly, without you even knowing it, the eyelid's already closing. I think about maybe when you were young, in the first few times you tried to use eye drops, and your mom literally had to hold them things open. You couldn't even hold them open. It's too close. It's too close. And there needed to be a protection. Without us even knowing it, the eyelid's closing. Not only the eyelid, but there's reflexes as well. So, you know, you're moving your head before you even know it. The hand's flying up. So the apple of the eye, let me turn back there. My teaching is the apple of the eye in verse 2. That word teaching would be law, but if in fact a father, one of the things that we're conveying to our children or to anyone that God would bring into our path to encourage and point to the Lord would be that which God says. It would be God's instruction, because it's going to be him that keeps. It's going to be him that protects. But my teaching as the apple of your eye, it is going to be that you would hear the saying sometimes, well, they're the apple of their eye. You think about a grandpa and his grandchildren. Oh, that's the apple of his eye right there. A lot of times you would hear it about dads and daughters. You know, she's the apple of his eye right there. What they're saying is that she's very valuable. She's very precious. And the Word of God should be valuable and precious to you and I. It is that which explains to us who our God is, who our Heavenly Father is. And it lays out, I mean, if you were to just think about John 1, grace upon grace, grace and truth. No one has seen the Father at any time, but the only begotten from the bosom explains him. You know, if it wasn't for the Word of God, everything would be up in the air. You know, we would have the Spirit as a believer after the cross, but with the Word of God, it literally solidifies. It's an anchor. It gives very clear direction of who he is and what pleases him. So the apple of the eye is that which is precious, that which should be valuable, that which should be protected. If we were to think of New Testament texts in 2 Timothy 3, the church is the pillar and support of truth. And as the church, the believers, there is a protecting of the Word of God. And it's something that every believer really should take seriously. There's a protection of the Word of God. This is valuable. This is what begins to explain who God is. It makes clear salvation. So you have the apple of the eye and the teaching. So as we go into verse 3, bind them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. The word bind, I really appreciate, is to tie physically. So there's a physical aspect. We think about Gnosticism a lot in the New Testament as Paul begins to write about this, that it's just all spiritual and not physical. Well, no, he came in the flesh. This is a physical binding. This is a physical doing. The word of God taken in faith should be lived out physically. The word bind is not only physical, but it ties into the mental as well. That when you think about things, and this is one of the points Pastor Gary shared years ago, and I had the same heart, that we would all think differently, that we would think Bible, that I would not think my own way anymore, but that I would think, what does the Word of God say? And that's what every Christian, and if you walk through these doors of this church, that's one of the things that'll be taught here, Lord willing, forever, for as long as we're here. But it's not thinking our way, it's thinking His way, and very important. So we're mentally, we're binding or tying physically and mentally in love, the way the word is explained, the word bind there. We're tying mentally in love, but also it would use the word league, which I used a couple weeks ago, the word brotherhood. I'm going to change that now. I'm going to use the word alliance or devotion. Because a brotherhood, I could use that as well too, but a part of that is bringing the sisters of God in as well. This is an alliance. This is a devotion that we're binding to as we read about the Word of God, the instruction of God, the direction of God, the warning of God. We're binding them on your fingers and write them on the tablet of your heart. That we're taking the time out of our day, that the Word of God we cherish, it's valuable to us, the desire that our relationship with the Lord is protected in our own lives, that we're thinking through, as Ephesians 5 would say, learning what is pleasing to the Lord. So we're right binding them on our fingers, the things that we do, living this out, and then writing them on the tablet of your heart, that you're taking the time to ingest them into your mind and into your soul. And you're thinking through the affection of these words, and you're thinking through, this is something I want to remember. This is something that I want to apply to my life. And then we come into verse 5. What's the purpose of that? Like, what will be the outcome of you doing that? Well, the outcome would be that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words, the strange woman. That is to say, if I think of it this way, why would it use woman? Well, we're writing to young men, and what would be biblically a weakness of young men? Well, of course, we have Adam and Eve. Say, here, you eat this. And Adam just eats it, you know. We have Solomon with his weaknesses. We have King David on top of the roof and his weakness with Bathsheba. But it is going to be that which would allure you away from doing what's right in God's eyes. For a woman, it may be a little bit different. But nevertheless, it is something that would allure away, something that would influence you. It may be companionship. As I think about young ladies, especially growing up in my high school years, young ladies longed for affection. They longed to be cherished. And a lot of times, because of that, they would get into wrong relationships with young men that did not love the Lord nor cherish them. But they would long for those things, security, being cherished. You can begin to long for, I know it might sound funny, but vacations. And we'll go through some of these words as we go. But it's going to be a protecting force in your life. As you cherish the Word of God and you hold it dear to you, it'll be a protecting force in your life. It'll keep you or guard you from the adulteress, from the foreigner. Now, that word foreigner is going to tie into that which is different, that which is new. So if we were to think about, like, historical, Ephesus was really the place where East and West met. And people would come into Ephesus looking to hear something new, something different. And I wanted to add this, excuse me, a part of, I believe, as a Christian or a believer and a follower of God, a follower of Jesus Christ, there is a level of consistency that you want to begin to build. I'll show you, if you'll turn me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and then we'll begin to speed up a little bit. Sorry. Verse 7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity," cowardice, "but of power, of love," and there's that last one there, discipline. There is a level of being a follower that is going to require some discipline in your life. And it's just going to be there. It's going to be a part of, I can't sugarcoat it. There's going to be a sense of you putting some effort into this. Some might say you're going to put skin in the game. You're going to have to sacrifice, and you're going to have to think through what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, the Word of God is what makes that clear. You're going to have to put in some effort. But the word discipline would be sophronismos, which would tie into self-control, which would tie into sound mind. I added this little note here, that you're not allowing yourself to get off course. It is a calling to soundness of mind. It would add in the word moderation, that you're realizing, okay, there needs to be some kind of moderation here, and self-control. And so I appreciate texts like this, that the spirit of timidity is not given us, but of power, love, and discipline. Moderation, self-control, soundness of mind. You're not allowing yourself to get too far off. You're not allowing yourself to become intoxicated with the ways of the world or things that are not pleasing to the Lord. So we'll go back to Proverbs 7. It's going to be a protecting force in your life. We come into 6 through 9, and Solomon's going to begin to write and tell us, "Well, I began to look out the lattice of my window, and I saw among the naive, I discerned among the youths, a young man lacking sense," in verse 7. So there's going to be a natural proclivity of man that all of us have. I've shared this probably about a month or so ago. The same proclivities of the young man, you might be surprised, would be some of the same proclivities that we even have as aged adults. Different things that God would use as he's talking to the young man, that we would step back and go, "Oh, I have that issue too. And oh, I think that way too." And God begins to reveal through the book and through his word things that I need to grow through, weaknesses that I may have. And so it's going to be that protecting force is what I pointed out. Why? Because you realize as he watches this young man and as he takes the way to that adulteress's house, one of the things that I pointed out is the thought is, well, maybe he don't know. Maybe this young kid doesn't know. And I know sometimes that's the thought. But if I'm writing to someone in Israel that grew up amongst Israel, in Israel, that was taught from a young age the things of God, he knows the things of God. It's not that he doesn't know. It's that he's not willing to treasure them. There's a protection that's going to come into your life. But you're going to have to, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's going to be consequences to not cherishing those things. What could some of those consequences be? Well, you'll begin to wonder. And I appreciate how Sonny added that song, "A heart that's prone to wonder." Man is going to look for fulfillment somewhere. Either you're going to find it in your relationship with the Lord, or you're going to look for it somewhere. And don't be surprised when it finds you. So you come in, we talked about verse 9, in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. One of the points that I had made is what those words meant. A time of concealment, intermingling, weak, and you'll find yourself beginning to reject light. Matthew 6 would tell us you cannot serve two masters. You will hate the one and you'll be devoted to the other. You cannot serve two masters. So Scripture would tell us there's going to have to be a choice that's made. If not, you're going to make yourself susceptible to being led away, susceptible to being led astray. So we'll pick up in verse 10. And behold, a woman comes to meet him. You don't say. She's going to show up. It's almost like you're kind of flirting around the edges there. And oh, well, there she was. No, you were looking and she was there. And behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. Okay, so here it is, what I thought was unique about this dress as a harlot. According to Genesis chapter 38, the harlot, which was Judah and Tamar, when Judah would not give his youngest son to his daughter-in-law, which he had promised, she dressed up as a harlot. And one of the things that it says she did is she began to put a veil, from what I can understand, over her face. So it gives me a picture of dressing as a harlot to where the face is covered. So therefore, this isn't about a relationship. This is just about self-gratification. And there's something in this for me, and there's something in this for you. But it's no longer about a relationship. But isn't that what sin or the world wants to tell you? This isn't about a relationship. God doesn't love you. God doesn't want good for you. And God wants to take things from you. But that's the lie that started all the way back in the garden. We've been covering Adam and Eve. That's the lie. This isn't about a relationship. And this is cunning of heart. That is to say, there's going to be wiles of the harlot. There's going to be skill here. But it's not about what is the cunning of heart. It's not about a relationship. It's about self. It's about you. And so we keep going here. Verse 11, she is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. The word boisterous, excuse me, is to be in commotion or tumult or turbulent, to make an uproar. One of the words I appreciated was to agitate. So what's one of the best ways to get you and I off course is to begin to agitate. I want you to think about a medical commercial, you know. One of the things that they'll do is they'll make you think you need all these things. But towards the end of the commercial, it'll say it very fast and in very small letters, all the side effects. You'll bleed out of your eyeballs. And I'm going, who wants to, I don't even want to take that chance. But a lot of times they'll operate on blissful living, or it'll draw on fear. Another key point here is, say, the news. And you can begin to fixate so much on something other than what does the Word of God say. And I can begin to fixate, or i.e. The middle or the center, single-mindedness or focus on, something other than what does the Word of God say. And before long, I'll find myself listening to all the agitators. What will that begin to do? Well, it's going to be rebellious as well. So the word rebellious would be to be stubborn, to turn away. I do like this, the way it explains it, be refractory. That is to say, resisting control or authority, it becomes unmanageable. I want you to think back that maybe even during COVID or pre-COVID, it might have been right before, the BLM movement. You think of these different movements that begin to sweep our country, and you begin to watch the boisterous, the stirring up of the people. You begin to watch the rebellious nature. We're in our world today where we're seeing that influence of the rebellious nature coming in, rejecting authority. You know, back when I was growing up, if you got pulled over, you better be quiet and do what that cop said. You don't argue with them. You do what they say. And if a Christian, you just do what they say and you trust that God's going to take care of you. But we're watching more and more how society is not wanting to honor authority at all. We're seeing it in our schools. We're seeing it in the churches. We're seeing it in the homes. We're seeing it in society on a whole coming about. So she's boisterous and rebellious. There's a sense of drawing you in that way, pulling on those emotions. Her feet do not remain at home. What I thought was unique about they bring in feet in this particular case for the adulteress, what I thought was unique for the one being encouraged to, as the teaching of the apple of the eye, the Word of God is the apple of the eye, they'll talk about fingers. So we have feet here, which are going to take you where you're going. But fingers are going to be you grasping intricacy, you doing things. There's the old saying that idle hands are the devil's workshop. Get busy living out what the Word of God says to do. And guess what? You'll be protected from sin in your life. But you start looking for relief or maybe fulfillment somewhere else, and you start skating around those corners, she's going to grab you, and she's going to pull you in. And so her feet do not remain at home. The word remain would be does not settle down, permanently stay. I like this word home. It's going to tie into family. It may surprise you, though, that that word home can also be used for the word prison or dungeon. It would be used in when it talks about Joseph was being thrown into prison, be the same word. If in fact I stop cherishing what the Word of God says and I start listening to the wrong influence in my life, home will no longer be a place of building up, of sacrificing and serving. Home can turn into a prison or a dungeon if I'm listening to the wrong influences in my life. It's very clear. Her feet do not remain at home. There's a sense of wanting to get out of that prison, of that dungeon, rather than seeing the home as the place where I invest, the place where I care, the place where I serve, the place where I reproduce. You know, when I think about the home, it is simply just a branch of the church. The home in all of our lives is simply another branch of the church, because the church are the believers. We come together to be built up in the Word of God, and then we go back into our homes, and if we're not thinking right, the home will not be seen the right way. It is a place where we build, a place where we reproduce, a place where we disciple, a place where we teach about the things of God. If it's not seen right, it can be seen as a prison. And we can see that in our society today. I see a lot of stay-at-home moms, Christian moms that love the Lord, and they go into, I think Michelle one time went in to get a coffee, and one girl asked her, well, what do you do? And we're in society today, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. There was laughs and sneers. This was the most cherished thing that a mother could ever do. And to see the way the world would respond, it's letting you know that's an influence. And those women have been influenced the wrong way. It's no longer about a relationship. It's about self. And that's the danger. That's the danger of how sin begins to take people away. It's no longer about the relationship. It's about self. Her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the streets, now in the squares, lurks by every corner. We're about out of time. I apologize. She's now in the streets, now in the squares, and lurks by every corner. She's constantly moving. The word streets, what's unique is going to tie into severing. The word squares is going to tie into the plaza. It's a place of socializing that's coming together now. And lurks by every corner. The word lurks there would be the word ambush, but it can also, in certain contexts, can be that which intermingles or... I don't have my notes are right here, and I got to flip the page. I apologize. I don't want to say something wrong. but it is that which weaves or intertwines. So every corner and every move that is being made in this influence, it's intertwining you more. It's influencing you more. She's now in the streets, she's in the squares, she's intertwining you more. Verse 13, so she seizes him and kisses him. And with brazen face, she says to him. Okay, so one of the points I have here is this bold, sudden attachment, you know. And this young guy's going, wow, she really likes me. Man, that was Pastor Gary's saying, so I'm using that one. He came up to me a couple weeks ago and he goes, she really likes me. Us poor guys. We're so easily fooled. Keep reading, buddy. She's got a husband. And it's not you. That should have been like, whoa, wait a minute. Deal breaker. You shouldn't even have been this far, son. Okay, so I was due to offer peace offerings. Today I paid my vows. Therefore, I have come out to meet you, to seek your presence earnestly, and I have found you. What I have here in 14, one of the allurements of being allured by sin is a sense of religiosity. You know, have you ever been so focused on something other than pleasing the Lord and just doing what God says? Have you ever been so focused on something that you so worked yourself up and you were finding verses to affirm what you wanted to pursue? I got one for you. Ready? I took a part of this verse, and then I take a part of this verse, and I put them together, and I make a new verse. Don't you know this verse says this, and this verse says this? So therefore, I can do that. That's what I can do. It's a sense of religiosity. You know, we're going to find a way to make this work. I coined that one. I take a part of this verse and this verse, and I created a new verse. I'll let you use it, though. And so, therefore, it's okay. I'm not copyrighted. Therefore, I've come out to meet you. That is to say, this is so personal. This is for me. Wow. And so it's all about you now. I think this is the blueprint for every car salesman or any salesman. As we keep going further, I'll let you know. 16, I have spread my couch with coverings with colored linens of Egypt. So we have the red carpet treatment. We have, this is very inviting. I've sprinkled my bed with myrrhs, aloes, and cinnamon. This luxurious affections, how luxury can be that which can allure. Be careful. Be careful with that. Verse 18, come, let us drink our fill of love. So we're coming to an apex here. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. One of the points I have here is now there's this exuberance, there's this tingling, there's this drunkenness that comes in, physical sensation that comes in that can easily pull away. If you focus on something long enough other than what's pleasing to the Lord and what God says, you'll find yourself making concessions, compromising, and becoming intoxicated until you completely compromise. And that's where we come in verse 19, 20, 21. And then she says this, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. Okay, wait a minute. Stop. Hold the press. She's married. There's something wrong here. Ultimately, you never should have even got to this point. But there's the clincher. There's a married woman that's now drawing this young man in. Sin will draw you in and tell you all these wonderful things, but there's only one caveat, one compromise that comes in. What will I do? Verse 20, he's taken a bag of money with him at the full moon. He will come home. That is to say, don't worry, you're not going to get found out. There's a veil of secrecy. There's a sense of sneaking around. There's a sense of removing accountability. And we're going to do this in secret. Verse 21, with her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. This was my car salesman line here. With the persuasions, that is to say, let's say you're looking for a car. And they go, you know, this one's the best one on the market for gas mileage. And you know gas is really high right now. And you're going, well, you know, that is true. Now you ready for this one? And you look great in it. And I don't just tell that to anybody, I promise. Really? No. No. Stop. Point being, there's persuasions that come in. But you understand that there's a major wrong here. There's a compromise here. I've focused on the wrong things, and it has led me astray, and I'm fixing to bind myself into something that is so wrong. There's a reason why the Word of God has been given, and he's encouraging his son. You must keep the teaching, the law, the instruction of God, the Word of God is the apple of your eye, son, because if you don't, you're going to find yourself wondering. you're going to find yourself being drawn in, and you're going to find yourself going places that you never should have gone or done. And we keep going. Suddenly he follows her. He gives in to the seduction, to the persuasion, as an ox goes to slaughter. So he's being led. It's no longer about what the Word of God says. It's now about appetite, instinct, lust, desire. As an ox goes to the slaughter, as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, or as one in fetters, that is to say, you're in stocks, discipline's coming in. And let me just stop here for a second. Discipline is the kindness of God. If it was not for discipline, we would all be lost and gone astray. If it was not, praise God for him to step in and to bring the discipline to get us back on track for possibly focusing on the wrong things other than what does God say. That is where I desire to put my focus. It will be a protecting force in your life. Until an arrow pierces through his liver. The liver, we'll talk about something that is heavy. It can have multiple meanings. It's the largest organ in the body. That's what it talks about, the liver. But it's neat because it can have 1 minute that it's that which is honorable or that which is troublesome. And if you were to break it down, if you were to go into Lamentations 2, it would use the word heart for liver. And what Jeremiah is crying about is the heart and the pain that the children of Israel are having to endure because of the choices they've made. It's horrible. That which should have been honorable was neglected. And now all the hurt that has come in. And from what I also read, the liver, one of its main jobs, and I could be wrong, it had like 7 or 8, but they said the main one was to remove toxins from the body. And I'm just researching this, Dr. Google, I apologize. I did plumbing. You asked me a plumbing question. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you. I'm not a doctor. But it's so the thing that should be filtering out the toxins in my life is the Word of God. And if I let go of cherishing that, then my filter is going to be compromised. That which should be honored will not, and bring great tragedy into my life when I stop cherishing that Word of God. When I stop cherishing, we go back to that harlot. When I stop cherishing the relationship, it's no longer about the relationship, it's just about self. No, it's about the relationship. He loves you. You're going to read about that in here. It's going to be a protecting force in your life. So a bird hastens to the snare. She does not know that it will cost. So he does not know that it will cost him his life. He's being led by instinct. There's that cheese in that trap, and that mouse is going for it. Little does he know what's fixing to happen, because he's being led by the wrong eyesight. He's focused on the wrong things, appetite, instinct, lust. 24, now therefore, my sons, plural, brothers and sisters, listen to me. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways, because you're focused on what does the Word of God say. I want to know him. I want to please him. I want to serve him. That's what I want to do. Do not let your heart turn aside to the seductive ways of sin. Do not stray into her past. Don't let yourself get off focus. For many are the victims she has cast down. Numerous are all her slain. She has a very strong track record of ruining lives. Turning away from God has a very strong track record of ruining lives. But praise God that if that discipline comes in, it's to rescue me. And so that's a strong encouragement to love correction, because it's God getting it back on the right path no matter what. Her house is the way to Sheol, separation and bondage. Descending to the chambers of death, you'll be dwelling in darkness and obscurity. Nothing will be clear in your life. When we take our eyes off of the treasured Word of God and we begin to cherish the wrong things, it will open the door to being led down the wrong road, which will have grave consequences in our life. So shall we close in prayer? We'll pick up in Proverbs 8 next week. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you for your Word. It gives us very clear direction and what pleases you. It also begins to share with us who you are, that it's not up to man's interpretation, but men moved by the Spirit spoke the Word of God, and they begin to write to us about who you really were. Lord, we believe that. Lord, please just continue to change these whole hearts. Keep us on the right path. Please forgive us of our sin, the times we've gone astray. But Lord, may we begin to, in our hearts and minds, begin to say, okay, Lord, there has to be, there's a discipline that comes in. There's a cherishing of your word and what you say and your direction. And when I cherish what you say, when I cherish the direction you give and explaining of who you are, it is a protection for your people. Lord Jesus, we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.